Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, for your word is truth. We thank you that you performed that amazing miracle, giving that bridegroom new wine at his wedding feast. And that through that, you manifested your glory to your disciples, who you had called to repent and believe, to follow you. And you revealed your glory to them. You made manifest your power. Lord, we pray today as we hear these words from St. Paul that we would understand the importance of being filled with your Holy Spirit, the importance of the manifestation gifts that you give to your church. You give them to individuals, but they're for the common good, so that you may be glorified and praised and honored as our loving God and Father, our Savior, our Lord. So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I decided that during this short season of Epiphany, which is this year is very short because Easter is at the end of March, and so everything moves up, and so Epiphany gets shortened when Easter's early. So I thought, well, here's 5 weeks. Let's talk about the important things that I believe are essential for the health of the church and for us as followers of Jesus Christ. So I thought, well, let's, with the theme of Revelation, you know, Epiphany, God manifesting, making known his truth, let's have a talk and an instruction on the basics of faith. So last week we talked about the gift and the importance of holy baptism, right? The baptism that Jesus taught in Matthew 28, verse 19, where he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism being a gift from God, not something that we can figure out, not something that we do, but it's something that God does, and it's an invitation. And then after we're baptized, after we're marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, then we talked about the challenge of living that life as someone who has been chosen, who has been called, living that life of sanctification, being that saint made holy by the blood of Christ, forgiven of our sins, cleansed with righteousness. How do we then live as his people? That we called the challenge. Well, I decided that I wanted to cover, because Jesus covered it, and John mentioned it, when John was talking about Jesus coming, he said, I baptize you with water, but one that comes after me will whose sandals I am not worthy to untie or even carry, he will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. So it's Jesus who causes this problem in the church. Because he's the one, well, it's actually John, but anyways, Jesus is the one who John said would baptize the Holy Spirit in fire. Jesus said, go baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three. And yet, in many churches and throughout history, there's been this confusion. So I use the term baptism of the Holy Spirit just to say it's okay because it's biblical, but I don't use it that much. I used to use it more, but I don't use that much because I don't want people to be confused. I don't want them to think holy baptism that we practice, which is baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is somehow one baptism, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another. Because I want you, if you read Acts and you read Paul's writings, Paul has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. Acts has a lot to say. Luke talks about the Holy Spirit a lot, but he uses words like fill with the Holy Spirit, pour out the Holy Spirit, release the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. He does not use baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because Paul is very clear, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one God and Father of all, who is in all and for all, right? So it's very important, but I like to use baptism of the Holy Spirit, I have in the past, because for me, growing up in the Lutheran church, knowing that I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knowing that I was saved, knowing that God did it all, that I was saved by grace, it wasn't anything I did. Growing up in Lutheran church, we kind of shied away, at least in the church I grew up in, about talking about the Holy Spirit. We gave him what I would call honorable mention. We did. And it really was of interest to me that when I was in chaplaincy, I don't know if you know this, but I trained as a chaplain at a psychiatric facility. Some people say that fits me. I should have maybe stayed there. But I trained as a chaplain in a psychiatric facility called Alberta Hospital. When I was called and I moved to Saskatchewan, I went up to serve at Saskatchewan Hospital North Battleford, which is a provincial hospital in Saskatchewan. And I was tasked with setting up a chaplaincy program. And so when I was tasked with doing that, I thought this is really important because we had a lot of what you would call Native Americans in Canada. We call them First Nations. We had a lot of First Nations people. And so they would come in with their elders. And so I didn't know how to serve them. So I asked a group called World Vision. You've heard of World Vision, right? They had a really good ministry to Aboriginal people. And so I asked their director, whose name was Rene LeBlanc at that time, who was a Mi'kmaq native from the East Coast, was working for World Vision, and he was a Christian. And he came and he talked to us as pastors about how to represent Christ to people who were First Nations. And what he said was, and I thought it was very telling, he said, "We're really good on the Father because we're good on the Creator." Okay? I don't know if you talk to Native Americans, but they're good on the Father, he says. We got that down. We got the Creator thing down, okay? We're good on that. He says, we're good on the Spirit, too. Sometimes too good, we get onto other things. But he says, we're good on the Spirit. We understand that they're spiritual, okay? We understand that. He says, where we're weak on is introduction to Jesus, the Son. He said, where we have to work at, in dealing with First Nations, he said, we have to work on introducing the Son. Because without the Son, you get into error and problems. He says, you got the Father and the Spirit, but if you don't have the Son, you got a problem, right? Well, I would say that in European culture, which is where we come from as Lutherans, I would say that in a lot of times, we were the same, but only with the Spirit. We understood the Father. That's where the law came from, right? You better smarten up. And we understood the Son because that's where we got the relief, right? He died for us. He rose again for us. He's offered us forgiveness. He offered us eternal life. I mean, we got those down. And when it came to the Holy Spirit, we're kind of like, I don't know. And so when I went to Bible school, it was really cool because I met a bunch of these crazy people that had a very huge experience of the Holy Spirit. And why I say experience, because I believe that we've come a long ways in the church. That's what my belief is. And accepting, because thanks to people like Nikki Gumbel, who came up with the Alpha Course, and other people who have said, the Holy Spirit should be part of the Christian life right from the beginning. It should not be this awesome experience that people... The reason why people had this experience in the past was because the Holy Spirit, the shy member of the Trinity, Lutheran theologians often call him the shy member of the Trinity, he's a perfect gentleman. He won't force anybody to do anything. But he's at work in everyone, right? Jesus said, all men will be drawn to me. How do people get drawn to him? By the Holy Spirit. That's what St. Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is drawing, active and drawing people to himself. When I'm, as a parent, I pray for the Holy Spirit to be active in my children's life. Sometimes I pray that he'd be even active even more, right? That he would be always drawing, that he would be always convicting, that he'd be always reaching out and drawing people to Jesus because that's his job. But as a shy member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit in many of our churches got honorable mention, didn't get talked about, didn't get taught about, and was often kind of like, okay, well, we know the Holy Spirit and miracles work, but we don't really want to talk about that. As a matter of fact, when I was in confirmation, my first year of confirmation, I had a retired pastor the second year, but my first year of confirmation, our pastor was there, and he actually talked about this, and he talked about how the gifts of the Holy Spirit were kind of around and miracles and all that stuff, but that was in the time of the apostles. And after the apostles, then the Bible became, the canon of Scripture was formed, and kind of like he used, I think, 1 Corinthians 13, where he said, the tongues will cease and all this stuff will cease. And he said, now we got the Bible, and so we don't need, we got the Word and sacraments, we don't need those gifts that, Acts talks about. it's over. And so I kind of feel bad because my confirmation should have been for me what I experienced in Bible school as what I call the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. That should have happened in my confirmation. Because I want to read to you what we pray over our confirmants in the Lutheran. You can, if you want to, I didn't put this stuff on slides today. I apologize for that. But if you want to open these hymnals, these blue hymnals that are in your chairs, and you go to page 206 and 207 in the front, it's our confirmation service. I want to read to you what we pray over and lay hands on and pray over our confirmants. Because I'm going to tell you, if I would have actually known what was happening, I think my confirmation would have been a different experience. For me, it was kind of like a graduation. Woo! So it says, the catechumen in turn give their right hand a kneel. The minister lays his hands upon the head of each one and gives the following blessing. A confirmation test is then given to each one. We don't give that test a lot of times, but it says this. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ give you his Holy Spirit. Give you his Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit in baptism, right? What that means, I just want to help you to understand what that means. In Lutheran theology, we say we receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, shy member of the Trinity. How many people are walking out there with the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives, but really does the Holy Spirit, they have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have them? One of my mentors said one time, he said, you know, the problem with Lutherans is they got the Holy Spirit as resident, but they're lacking the Holy Spirit as president. They got the Holy Spirit because they believe they can confess Jesus as Lord. They have salvation. They're a believer. They've been drawn to Christ, but they've not allowed the Holy Spirit to really lead and reign in their life. And they haven't asked for these gifts that he has. And so here you go at confirmation. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification and the fear of God. Who knew that the guys who wrote Lutheran worship were charismatic? Now that's not, if you're younger, you don't understand that. But if you're older, you understand how funny that is. Okay? It is funny. I know nobody's laughing, but it is funny. Trust me. They're charismatic. Oh, you're chuckling. Okay. All right. Because look at it. It says the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification and the fear of God. That's what should have happened. I got my hands laid on me. I got this prayer prayed over me. But you know, I wasn't told that the shy member of the Trinity wants to be asked. You see, in baptism, we receive as an invitation. It's all God. But in the area of sanctification, don't we accept, receive, whatever, make decisions? Don't we make decisions as people saved by grace through faith and given the gift of faith through water, through baptism? Don't we each and every day make decisions? We choose whether to listen to the Holy Spirit or not to, right? How many of you know, it's like Fred Flintstone. I don't know, this is again, for you younger people, maybe you don't understand this, but on Fred Flintstone, I always used to like this. They'd always put a little angel Fred and a little devil Fred on the, and you would have a choice, you know. Do you listen to the devil one or do you listen to the angel one? Most of the time you listen to the devil one, right? So you make decisions. That's what it means to be walking in sanctification. Who do you listen to? What decisions do you make? We used to argue about the hymn, I've decided to follow Jesus. I always said you can do that after you understand that you're saved by grace through faith and you're not making a decision for Christ, but you're making decisions as a follower of Christ, right? Decisions every day, whether to pray, whether to read your Bible, whether to fast, whether to, I mean, you make decisions all the time. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, hopefully those decisions are pleasing to God. So my prayer is, as I received, I call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but whether you call it the filling or whatever, as I received that, the Lord started showing up, and my level of expectation on God being able to do things was fantastic. I prayed for silly little things. I kind of makes me blush now because I prayed for everything. I probably overprayed it. You know what I mean? I mean, I lived in Alberta, and in the wintertime in Alberta, they decided to gravel the roads, the highways, because of ice. And so you would go down the highway, and you'd get these rocks on your windshield. And so one time I was driving to work, and I got a rock in my windshield. And it was one of those ones that you could see was going to spread, right? You know how you, I don't know if you've got very many of them around here. I haven't got that many since I lived here, but I knew, and I got out, and I prayed over that windshield. I said, don't you dare! You never did. It's kind of funny, you know, because, I mean, in those days, I really expected, and now I found as I got older, I pray about big things. But I forget to pray about the little things. kind of want to get back to that. Because shouldn't we expect God to care about the little things? Shouldn't we expect God to show up even in the little things as well as the big things? I mean, I'm a walking testimony. I was in the SICU, if you don't know this, I was in the SICU, and I ended up at the Cleveland Clinic, and I had an MRI and for my arterial system, and they said, we don't know what happened, but you were supposed to have this problem, but you don't have it anymore. And so I know the power of healing. I know the power of God. I know that the Holy Spirit's active. I know that Jesus wants to make his glory manifest. So my prayer for you is that you will let people do what it says. This is a Lutheran idea. I want to tell you a secret. Please don't tell anyone because I could get in trouble, but I want you to know something. Martin Luther was charismatic. I know everybody's just like falling over, but I want to tell you why. I'm going to close with this. Listen to what he says when he describes the third article of the creed that you said when we confessed the creed earlier. The third article of the creed is, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. This is what he says. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Who's the one that has to draw us? Give us faith? Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, he should have gotten in trouble for this. Enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Then he goes on. I mean, if that wasn't bad enough. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Brothers and sisters, is it wrong to talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say? Should we not teach this? Should we not be praying over one another? And somebody says, well, why do I have to have people lay hands on me and pray? Well, that's the way it's been done ever since Abraham. It's always the blessing has always been passed on through laying on of hands. This is the way that Paul expected it to happen. Read Acts. There's Acts 4. There's Acts 8. There's Acts 9. There's Acts 19. There's all examples of where people were baptized wrongly. And instead of rebaptizing them, because again, there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, they just prayed over them, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Peter and John go down, follow Philip down to Samaria. People there, there's something going wrong. So what do? They lay on hands, they baptize them, they get the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is biblical. So I just want to ask you, can you trust the Lord enough to not just have the Holy Spirit resident, but have him president? I like Nicky Gumbel. I'm going to close. He says, I know because Don's standing back there, reminding me we have to close. But Nicky Gumbel, if you ever get a chance to take Alpha, I hope we'll do it again soon. If you get a chance, he talks about the Holy Spirit this way. He says, it's a manifestation, an outward manifestation of an inward truth. We have the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and to do what he wants to do, when we allow the perfect gentleman to, we ask him to do what the Lord wants, his will to be done in our life, he says, back up and watch. Because he still wants to manifest his glory. That's why we have the Romans 12 gifts, the personality gift. We have the Ephesians 4 gifts, which are the gifts given to the church. And then we have these personal, individual gifts that are given for the common good, these manifestation gifts. And brothers and sisters, I hope you will experience them. I hope you will experience all the gifts that God wants for you. Because he wants to do mighty things. Amen? He does. He wants us to have high level of expectation. And he still wants to do what he did back in Acts, what he did when he was here. In ministry, he wants to manifest his glory each and every day through us into the world. Amen.